My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
G&D here on The Fan, no GP, just me. That's Danny Ruye hanging out with you. So here's what I want to do, folks. Folks, go on, folks. Folks, 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. Already a couple people in line. You get in line. It's your chance right now to win Dave Matthews Band tickets, okay? So give us a call, 800-636-1067. We're going to play right now this minute. Does Danny hate it? Does Danny hate it? Okay. The way the game's going to work is I'll bring you on, say hello, we'll exchange pleasantries. I'll ask if you know how the game is played. You'll say yes, presumably. Then Darius will give you the topic, item, point of discussion, news-related story, whatever, and you will have to guess whether or not I hate it. If you guess correctly, two times, you will win a pair of Dave Matthews Band tickets. Everybody with me? 800-636-1067. So give us a call, talk to Ryan, get yourself in the queue, and you will have a chance to win. I want to remind you guys, as the exclusive sponsor for our show, the law firm of Kadori and Morad can guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you draft your will, set up a revocable trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them Grant and Danny sent you to score yourself a great discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Also, a special welcome and hello and bienvenue to our friends in Richmond, 910 The Fan, down there in the capital of the Commonwealth, anywhere in the world, on the old Odyssey app. All right? So, Darius, you have topics at the ready. I do not know what these topics are, correct?
That is correct. You are unaware of all these topics.
Blissfully unaware. I will be reacting in real time, as will you. All right? So, you get these right? You'll have won two tickets to Dave Matthews Band Saturday, July 13th at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Live Nation. All right, somebody drops off. Give us a call, 800-636-1067. Our first contestant, Warren in Front Royal. Warren, good afternoon. You're on The Fan.
Hey, what's up, Danny? How you doing?
Not much, my friend. I'm very well. Do you understand how the game is played?
Yes, sir.
Very well. Darius, our first topic for Does Danny Hate It?
Warren in Front Royal, does Danny hate go-karts? Does Danny hate go-karting?
No, I'm going to say he likes go-karting.
Warren, that is correct. Go-karting rules. In fact, I was banned from the Kissimmee St. Cloud go-karting track for 2 years in high school because on our spring training trip in Florida, after they said, please no more bumping, my friend John was driving ahead of me, and I 100% bumped him on purpose, and they put my picture up and banned me, and it broke my heart. I couldn't go the following year. Go-karting rules. You are one for one. You get this one right. You're going to Dave Matthews Band. Darius, go ahead.
All right, Warren. This is for the Dave Matthews Band tickets. Warren, does Danny hate outlet malls? That would be outlet malls.
I'm going to say he likes outlet malls.
Warren, you know your host. You know it, buddy. I love outlet malls. I love them. The idea that I'm going to get a good deal in one place, let's all go to outlet malls, bro. Let's do the show from the outlet malls in Leesburg. Warren, stay on hold for me because you won. Wait, well, that didn't work. Let me see.
Thank you.
Warren, hold on. Now he's on hold. He's on hold now? That's how you do it, Warren. That's how you debate.
How about Warren?
You pick a topic and you go with it. You research it. Two, by the way, great suggestions.
Thank you.
I love both those things. As a fun-loving guy that's known for how much I, like how warm and big my heart is, and like the big spectrum of things that I really, really like and care for, those are two great ones.
I think this makes you look good sometimes.
Right?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's one pair. We got two more pairs to go. Jeff in Alexandria, you are on, sir. Do you know how the game is played? Oh, wait, did I put him on? Hold on. There it is. Jeff, Alexandria, what's up, bud?
Hey, how's it going?
You understand how the game is played, sir?
I do.
Very well. Darius, let's play Does Danny Hate It?
Jeff in Alexandria, does Danny hate motorcycles? Does Danny hate motorcycles, Jeff?
Vehemently. He hates them.
By the way, we're 3 for 3. I can't stand them. I can't stand them. Why do you think you get to go between two cars, bro? What is that all about? Like, you're driving just like the rest of us are driving. It's the same road, all right? Like, you're both intimidating and terrifying. Like, I don't know. Like, if I mess up, then you're dead. Like, I can't stand the motorcycle. So out on motorcycles. This, by the way, our listeners really know me. This is flattering. Jeff, you get one more right, you're going to Dave Matthews Band. Darius, go ahead.
For the Dave Matthews Band tickets, Jeff, does Danny hate the wonderful, delicious summer treat known as Dippin' Dots? Does Danny hate Dippin' Dots?
Absolutely hates it.
Jeff, you're going to Dave Matthews, man. This is unbelievable. Everyone's got these. Are these too easy? Here, put them on hold. It's not working. My thing's not working. Don't isolate that. Yeah. You know why I hate Dippin' Dots? I got to get them 3 times every time I go to Nats Park with one of my kids. What are they? What actually is it? You see what I'm saying? I don't know what it is. I know that by 4 seconds in, it's like a weird juice down at the bottom of the Dippin' Dots. I can't stand them. They taste fine. It's not the ice cream of the future anymore. You've been saying that for 2 decades. What even are you? What are you? I want to know what you are. Jeff's going to Dave Matthews Band. 2 tickets to Dave Matthews Band, Saturday, July 13th at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Live Nation. Jeff is going.
Warren's going.
Warren's going.
We're just sending people to Dave Matthews Band.
All right, we got one more pair left. I thought people would miss some of these. We're 4 for 4. That's either a compliment to me as an open book that's really honest and shares with you guys, or I don't want to think about the alternative. All right, Ricky in Rockville. Ricky, what's up, man? You're on.
What's up, Dan?
How you doing, my friend? You know how the game is played?
Yes, sir.
Very well. Ricky, let's play Does Danny Hate It? Darius, what do you got?
Ricky, does Danny hate mini golf? Does Danny hate playing mini golf?
Yeah, Danny's not a fan.
Ricky, I'm so sorry. This is our first miss. I am a mini golf guy. Every year at the beach with my son, we have a special invitational mini golf tournament for him, myself, and my brother-in-law. Rarely, one of his female cousins will get invited. It's usually just the dudes, but I'm a mini golf guy. I mini golf at my bachelor party. I mini golf anytime it's not too hot. I like, especially get a course with some shade or like a pirate's wheel. I don't know what a pirate's wheel is exactly, but like any kind of, like I'm all into it. I love the mini golf. I love to like set up over a putt and pretend that like this is the Masters, you know, and I do the thing where like I Tiger Woods point at it as it's going in. I keep score. I keep score. I assign penalty strokes.
I feel like it's something competitive. So of course
yep,
you like it.
Exactly. Yeah. That was our first miss. They made me feel a little bit better. Sorry, Ricky and Rockville. Keith and Laurel, you're on the fam. You know how to play?
Hey guys. Yeah, sure.
Very well. Let us do this together. Darius, let's play Does Danny Hate It?
Keith, does Danny hate getting a spa treatment? Does Danny hate getting a spa treatment?
I'll say he likes it.
You are correct, Heath. It's divine. If I was rich, this is what I would spend my money on. Like, not necessarily like a big house or fancy car, whatever. I would spend it on this. The massage, the pampering, the scalp things. I did one the other day. Not the other day. It's a while ago. At Grooming Lounge. I had a gift card that somebody gave me. This lady's just working on my face. She's popping stuff. She's with her super strong fingers. I mean, all the blackheads. Oh, just nasty. But I loved it, Keith. I was like, I'm in heaven. I'm a CEO. It felt like I was a king. I love a spa treatment. Keith, if you get this one right, you're going to Dave Matthews Band. Darius, go.
For the Dave Matthews Band tickets, Keith, does Danny hate playing music on a public beach? That'll be playing music on a public beach, Keith.
Oh, I'll say he likes it.
Keith, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. Why am I listening to your music? You see what I'm saying? Why am I listening to your music? And then if I'm doing it, now I'm the one that I'm insisting you listen to mine? No. We're in a shared space here, bro. If this is your private pool, by all means, blast your tunes. Oh, I got this great 90s mix. Oh, this is early 2000s. Lit's on here. That's cool, man. If you're in public, oh, I got a full send flag and a margarita machine, said the noisy, selfish people. No. Let's keep it quiet. Let's keep that noise level down. Beach is enough. Let the ambiance of the waves crash over you, okay? Put your toes in the sand. Listen to the ocean. You got a podcast or something? Pop your pods in. No. We're not playing loud music on the beach. That's a no from me, dog. Tough one. Todd in Bristol, you're next up, sir. You know how the game is played?
I do.
Very well, Todd. Let's play. Does Danny hate it? Darius, what do you got?
Todd's out there by Jiffy Loop Live. How about that?
Yeah, it's right around the corner from you, Todd.
Look at that. Todd, does Danny hate booze cruises? That'll be booze cruises.
Danny hates booze cruises.
That is correct, Todd. I'm not 21. I am in my mid-40s. I don't need that anymore. Why are you yelling at me? You're not that funny with a Hawaiian shirt and oversized glasses and a headband on, Keegan. All right, settle down. Do something else with your life. Get an internship. All right, buddy? Thank you, Todd. You're correct about that. When you get this one right, you're going to Dave Matthews Band.
For the Dave Matthews Band tickets, does Danny hate custom sports jerseys? Yeah. If I need to clarify, that'll be jerseys with, say, your last name on it instead of a player's name.
Yep. I believe Danny hates custom jerseys.
Put Todd on hold because he's going to Dave Matthews Band. He's 100% correct. Right. That is so right. That is so accurate. What a colossal waste of money. What a stupid, silly thing. You're trying to get like some sort of sexual pun past the censors at NFL.com. Oh, you're so clever. That's amazing. Wait, it's your last name? Don't do that. Don't do that. Now, the only caveat is you got something cool for a little kid, right? Like, let's say you're part of a little league team, right? You're a 7 and 8 year old, and you got Nationals jerseys, and it's like got their nickname on the back, and they feel like cool, and they want to come back and watch some baseball. Fine. Grown up with a custom jersey. A grown up with a custom jersey. Stop it. All right, those are our three pairs. I welcome anyone else to come play, but I want you to be aware you're playing for nothing.
Yeah, we got a few more categories.
We got a few more minutes, a few more categories. 800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Lewis in D.C. Lewis, how are you?
Good. First-time caller.
Oh, welcome. We have something in case this happens, don't we? Hit that! Now, Lewis, you're aware you're playing for absolutely nothing other than the joy of competing.
Absolutely nothing, the joy of competing.
I love that from you, Lewis.
Let's do this, baby.
Good spirit, good attitude. You know how the game is played? You ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
Let's play Does Danny Hate It? Dare Stammer.
Lewis, does Danny hate food trucks? Does Danny hate food trucks?
Danny loves food trucks.
Lewis is so correct. What do you mean? I don't have to go anywhere? I'll eat it on a picnic table? It's fried and it's good and it's right here. You accept credit cards? Yes, food trucks. All about the food truck. Give me a place where there's a bunch of food trucks. Like when the Nats go out of town and there's that food truck convention every once in a while at the bullpen. At the bullpen.
So great.
Let's walk over to the food truck place. The only hard part is deciding what to eat, and that's why I eat three different or four different, sometimes six different things. Lewis, you're correct. Again, you have a chance for nothing here. Let's play one more round.
This is serious.
Yeah, this is very serious stuff. It's for absolutely nothing. The grand prize of nothing. Darius, let's play.
Lewis, to win absolutely nothing,
nothing
here. Does Danny hate fishing? Does Danny hate fishing?
For absolutely nothing, Danny absolutely hates fishing.
Oh, Lewis, I am so sorry. I love fishing. I love it. Well, I never go. I mean, I haven't been in a long time. Kids will do that too. You got to make sacrifices. You give some stuff up. There is not that much better than kind of that slow, rhythmic repetition. Reeling in. Casting out. Reeling in. Catching something to thrill. Now, I will say I hate fishing at the beach. And I hate it when people fish at the beach. My kids are swimming right there, dude. I don't need a hook in my 6-year-old's biscuits. Thank you. Please don't do that. Please stop fishing at the beach when people are trying to hang out by the beach. There's an early morning time and an evening time when no one's hanging out. When people are hanging out, now I got to walk around your fishing line. You put that little pole in the ground, and now I got to like duck under it one time because there's like a wind blowing. Don't do that. But the lake fishing, hanging out in a boat, some of my fondest memories with my grandfather and my uncle as a kid, and I was terrible at it. I had no idea what I was doing, but fly fishing in the river in West Virginia, oh, dude, it's poetry. You're snapping snapping your line, that green line just so, flicking it in a certain way. I've watched The River Runs Through It 7,000 times because it's kind of about fly fishing. I love fishing. I also love eating fish and crabs and shrimp and lobsters. Charles in Highland. What's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm very well. Do you want to play the game for absolutely nothing?
Let's go for it.
This is for absolutely nothing. Charles and Highland, again, if you win this, you get nothing. Darius, let's play. Does Danny hate it?
Charles, does Danny hate fireworks in his neighborhood?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a layup. Come on. Hey, best case scenario, no one loses a finger. Nope. Professionals, please. Let the professionals do it and make it far away from me. Charles, you get me and you get how this game goes. Grand prize here. Chance to win absolutely nothing. Darius.
Here it is. Here it is, Charles. For absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Does Danny hate guided tours? Gotta be guided tours.
Yes.
Charles, that's a tough one. I actually don't hate guided tours. Now, my pops for years was actually a DC tour guide. I love information. What I love is knowing the thing. In fact, this is one of my least attractive qualities. It's why people get tired of me an awful lot. They get annoyed because I'm like, actually, here's the bit of info. So if I can get that info and then pass it off like I just happen to know it, that's pretty good. The actual design of the Lincoln Memorial started off doing this, but then he ended up with give me that. Give me the guided tour. I love information. Kyle, Chesapeake. Hey, Kyle. Kyle, what's up, man? You're on the Fan.
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm very well. Do you want to play Does Danny Hate It for absolutely nothing?
Sure, absolutely. I will.
Let's...
I'm stuck in traffic, so why not?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Why not? That's the dude we want, Kyle. I love it. Darius, let's play Does Danny Hate It.
All right. Does Danny hate watching his favorite sports team at a public bar or restaurant?
I want to say he likes.
Ooh, Kyle, you hate to see it. No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Nope. I can't have it. I can't. What are you talking? No, the team. The team's playing. Shh. Focus. Home. Surround sound. My TV. Quiet. Don't bother me, children. Andrew in Damascus. Andrew, what's up, dude?
Hey, how you doing, Danny?
I'm well, my friend. Let's play Does Danny Hate It for absolutely nothing for Andrew in Damascus. Darius, go.
Andrew, does Danny hate carnivals?
What was it?
Carnivals.
Oh, carnivals. Oh, he's got kids. He's into it.
Nope. Andrew, I love you, pal. You're my guy, but no. That's a no. Mm-mm. Nope. I can't feel like I'm getting conned. I feel like everybody's reaching in my pocket. Not literally, figuratively. You know what I mean? I feel like everything's a way to separate me from my money. I don't feel like the value's there. It's always hot. The kids are always in a cranky mood. No, not a carnival guy. You're going to guess my weight? It's too big. I don't want to be that number. I don't want to find out from you. What am I driving around in circles? I'm trying to put a ping pong ball in a milk bottle. No, the rims are too tight when I'm doing the shooting thing. The milk jar is like stuck to the deal when I'm throwing the baseball at it. I can't. Good rounds, by the way, of Does Danny Hate It? I thought that was really good. That went pretty well, I thought. We did a whole segment out of it. Yeah, congrats to all the winners. You guys are going to Dave Matthews Band, not this week, but next week. That's a lot of fun. I got a double play for you at 3:45. What's going on in our lives, nothing to do with sports. Next, I got a list of clutch QBs that somebody put together. Always hard to kind of, you know, do this subjectively, so they tried to make an objective list. And there are some stunning ones, some surprises on those lists of top 10. Clutch quarterbacks. We'll give that to you next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're in list season, right? We're there. We're eyeball deep in it. NFL training camp still several weeks away. Welcome back to the program. Great Nanny here on The Fan. Follow me on the Twitterverse at Funny Danny. Check us out on YouTube. Just search Grant and Danny. Search 106.7 The Fan. You'll see my stupid fat face. Hang out. Odyssey app anywhere in the world. The whole nine yards. We just want you listening, consuming the program. Tell a friend or tell 10,000 friends. Better yet. Welcome in. Double play for you, 3:45, little Beltway Blitz action at foe. So, Douglas Clawson, not a name I know, for CBS. They're ranking the NFL's top 10 clutch quarterbacks here in this early July offseason. This is one of those impossible exercises, right? Like, who do you think, top of your head, historically, think of a clutch player in any sport. What are some of the names that come to mind? I can think of a bunch. Sometimes it's based on rep, right? I remember a handful of years ago, and I'm not beating up on this player. He's still one of the greatest I've ever seen, obviously. But Michael Wilbon, who I love, sort of summarily declared that Kobe Bryant is the best closer in the NBA. Said he's the closer. Not something we ever thought of before. But what does that mean? Well, it's down the stretch. He's got the ball in his hands. He's going to make plays or not for his team. and he was really good at that. Well, no number bore that out. And what I mean is, what Wilbon was asserting wasn't actually taking place at that point. His shooting percentage, talking about Bryant's, went down. His turnovers went up. His assist ratio went down. Everything from free throw rate to otherwise. But it was just he hit enough of those clutch game-winning style jumpers, Jordan style, that you go, okay, he does enough, he's clutch. But the numbers didn't bear that out necessarily. Again, I'm not telling you Kobe Bryant wasn't a clutch player. He obviously was. You know what I mean? But it's just an example I'm trying to offer. So this is really hard to quantify. We don't think of Peyton Manning as clutch because he didn't win as many Super Bowls as Tom Brady, who we do think of as clutch. But we sort of don't pay attention to moments where Brady wasn't particularly good. Or we don't remember moments where it took the Atlanta Falcons not running the ball one time. And then he doesn't win one of those Super Bowls. Right? I mean, clutch is this ephemeral thing that's hard to pin down. We know that John Elway was clutch because of the drive. We know that, that the Jordan was clutch because all the game winners, because of Byron Russell and then the jumper right in his mouth. We know those. But again, it's hard to quantify with numbers. So what they did at CBS Sports is to try to figure out via the best numbers that they possibly could. Okay, so I'll read from the story. He said, I looked at these numbers to answer these age-old questions using two stats. Quarterback conversion rate on game-tying or go-ahead drives in the fourth quarter and overtime. And expected points added per play in these situations. Looks at value added on all plays between rushes, passes, sacks, and fumbles. AKA, game time, game situation, you're losing or you're tied. You've got a game-winning or game-tying clutch situation, end of game, where you punt, you lose. You don't get the fourth down, you lose. And what are you doing in those times? Like, in other words, you don't get, like, if Darius is my starting quarterback and he hands it off to Ryan, and now he's got a, quote, game-winning drive because Ryan rips off a 65-yarder for a tutty, is Darius clutch or not? Right? It's about what you do in those situations. So when you try to do it numerically and not with the eyeball test, you get some fascinating results here. Let's go through them. Number 10, Justin Herbert. Fine there. Right? It's not as if the Chargers have won a ton with Herbert as their quarterback, but that stands to reason to me. Justin Herbert's converted 42% of game tying or go-ahead drive chances in his career, the 10th best rate in the league among active starters. He was effective in the clutch again last year, but the Chargers defense didn't hold up their end of the bargain. Get this. This is from a story. He had 5 game-tying or go-ahead touchdown passes in the fourth quarter and overtime of losses last year, the most in a season in NFL history. So that checks out, right? In other words, with a minute 10 left, you throw a tutty, take the lead, your defense then ends up losing the game somehow. It happened 5 times to him last year, and that was even with him being hurt a couple times. Number 9, Lamar Jackson. Jackson is the 3rd highest conversion rate on these clutch drives among active starters, behind a couple other names who I'll get to here in a second. Problem is he hasn't delivered the clutch in the postseason. So this is another part of this clutch discussion that I think dominates in a way that may or may not be fair to you. And this is kind of the new school fan versus old school fan. Right? The did you do it in the postseason? In this smaller sample where everything is so magnified, you did it or you didn't. And there's a perception out there for Lamar Jackson, which I think is unfair for the record, that he is not clutch because the Ravens have not won a Super Bowl with the 2-time MVP. And then there's this connection from that, or this leap from that to you can't win a Super Bowl this way, which I think is garbage for the record. I thought that is garbage throughout. You absolutely can. They haven't. I'm aware of that. Because they got upset by a red-hot Tennessee team when he was the MVP a couple years ago. And because I'm blanking on the player's name. Is it Zay Flowers? Dropped the ball at the goal line for what would have been a game-tying touchdown in the fourth quarter against the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. To say that Lamar can't, I think, is absurd. Yes, he can. That dude is excellent. Multi-time MVP. As clutch as you want. Now, it hasn't happened in the postseason. I'm very aware of that. I was there, too. I saw it. Number 8. Daniel Jones. Okay. Now, no to that, right? We can all say that. But again, this is when if you plug numbers into to a computer and it spits out something, you can't be mad at the results. This is what it says in the story. Hear me out. Before you pound your fist on the table and yell Daniel Jones, he had very few clutch opportunities through three seasons, but he's been steady lately. He successfully led the Giants down the field to tie or take the lead on 11 of 25 ops, that's 44%, in the last 2 years, a top 10 rate in the NFL. He had five game-winning drives through seven games in 2022. So, here's the thing. This is an interesting one. Daniel Jones, in Danny Ruye's opinion, stinks. It's all a big waste of time. I think the Giants are wasting their time, and I love them for it. Keep wasting your time. Keep trotting Daniel Jones out there. They haven't given him much help, but he stinks. It's his fault, to a degree, that they're not in more clutch situations, right? As he's fumbling and turning it over and throwing incomplete passes and stinking, they're not in a lot of games, so he can't be clutch. But when they are, he's performed well. Fascinating, right? Number seven, Joe Burrow. No issue there. Joe Burrow's a stud, right? Let's go to the next. Number six, Dak Prescott. How about that one? From the story. He was 5 of 9 on game-tying or go-ahead drive chances late in games last year and led three game-winning drives in primetime versus the Chargers, Seahawks, and Lions. Playoff heroics haven't been there, though he's 3 of 9 in those clutch opportunities. Again, this is that playoff bugaboo kind of coming back and raining on the parade. We don't think of Dak Prescott as clutch. Right? That's fair to say? Numbers say otherwise. And again, this is that postseason performance or lack thereof coming up with duds in a couple opportunities despite being on an 11, 12, 13 caliber win team in those huge moments. But he's ahead of Joe Burrow on this clutch list. That's tough. Number five, Ryan's victory lap here. Jared Goff, number five on that list. Game-winning drive in Kansas City on opening night. Had huge moments over the course of the last couple of seasons. 6 of 10 in fourth quarter and overtime moments last year, and third in EPA per play in those situations. Josh Allen is number four. Stands to reason, right? He's going to run. He's going to rumble. He's going to make that big throw. Maybe early on the game, inaccurate. Maybe, you know, air mails a couple. But I would want that guy with the ball in his hands less than 2 minutes to go. Number three, Jalen Hurts. Now, last year probably hurt the case, especially in the second half. But I'm telling you, if you go through all of 2 years ago and then really through week 11 or 12, 6 touchdowns, 0 turnovers on potential game-tying or go-ahead drives in the fourth quarter and overtime through the first 12 weeks of the season last year, culminating with that OT performance against the Bills. If you remember, this is before that meltdown, before they fell off the planet. He out-dueled. He was every bit as good, if not better, than Pat Mahomes was in the Super Bowl a couple seasons ago. So I buy that one. And number two, only 1 year a sample, but C.J. Stroud. Nobody was better than Stroud in the clutch last year. Listen to these numbers. The Texans converted on 6 of 8 game-tying or go-ahead drive chances late with Stroud under center. His numbers in those situations were phenomenal. 77% completion rate, 10.7 yards per attempt, and a 139.5 passer rating. The best highlight was his game-winning touchdown pass from rookie to cap Stroud's 475-touchdown game. That is why we think of him as a star. A, he is. He's excellent. I'm not telling you he's not. But because some of these situations, these end-of-game clutch-type situations where he thrived, winner-take-all style, I think of that drive against Indianapolis where he marched down for a game winner. Cool as a cucumber. The kid is great as it is, but now you add in some of those samples, which it's frankly not sustainable to complete 80% of your passes, come back and win 6 of 8 times in fourth quarter situations. Things even out. But because he did that and turned in that work year one, we think of him as clutch and a star, and I think we're right about that. And number one should surprise nobody. Guess who it is? Obviously, being at the top of this list is obviously a big honor for us. And I mean, it's really not about me. It's about the team. It's about Coach Reed and Trav and like our front office and obviously like Chris Jones on defense and getting us the ball back with a chance to win and just trying to make plays and work hard and get better. And it's not a big deal if we lose a couple games down the way because we're going to try to play our best football come January and we're going to win another Super Bowl. And every time I'm here, we're going to the title game. Boom. Mahomes. Obvious, right? It makes sense. So whenever I encounter a list like this, there's enough that makes sense to me. There's enough that fit your eye line, that fit your narrative, where it forces you to kind of give credence to the rest. You follow that? You follow that line of thinking? What I mean is, if you've got a list where it's like the best quarterbacks on third down, and Mahomes is like 28th, and Lamar's 29th, and Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, these other guys are not accurate on certain things, you kind of go, this list doesn't make sense to me. But if they're included, you've got to take it with a grain of salt at a minimum, but you've got to basically say, hey, this has some credence. Because I'm looking at this list and I go, well, the guys up at the top should be up at the top. So you've got to consider Dak Prescott, Daniel Jones, Jalen Hurts. By the way, three NFC's quarterbacks in the top 10 of the clutch rankings. Instructive stuff. Fun, interesting to me. Just thought you guys might get a kick out of that. Speaking of kicks, it's double play time. We will do that next 3:45. We do it every day. Except for Friday, which is winning off the field, but it's not Friday, but it sort of is. We're treating it like Friday later, but not right now. Like later on, it's going to be a Friday on a Wednesday, but not Friday right now for the double play part. Does that make sense? Anyway, the point of the dude's story is we got a little double play action. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports at 3:45. Beltway Blitz at 4. Don't go anywhere. The double play is driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. We do it every day at 3:45. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And we got a little sounder for the double play. Now, in the past, this sounder would give me like enough time to pick up tea and take a sip of tea. I'm going to see if I can do it. It's just over 2 seconds. So when I throw to it, let's see if I can get one in. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go. I did it. Full from table to mouth, back down. I was able to do it. It's so quick. It's so much quicker. We'll get used to it, though. We'll adjust on the fly. Acolyte time. Let's talk about it, you guys. Man, the first four episodes of the show, if you're not watching on Disney+, it is set in the High Republic era. Not the Old Republic era, which was there was some confusion about with Ryan. He and I were talking earlier, and he's like, is this Old Republic? I'm like, no, it's not. It's High Republic. And Ryan asked me, he's like, well, how could there be Sith on this show when Ki-Adu Mundi, specifically at the Council, says the Sith have been extinct for 1,000 years. Now we're just casually doing a Sith 100 years before the events of A Phantom Menace. And I was like, Ryan, I don't have a great answer for that. Because they even showed Ki-Adu Mundi in this show, and he's like experiencing Sith-like things, and he's like, I don't know, maybe he could have brought that up. So you're kind of screwing with continuity there. But you basically have a Sith-like figure that's being introduced, and I'm not going to spoil anything here for you guys if you haven't watched it. But I think the first four episodes were clunky, awkward, world-building attempts at exposition. I think they failed, to be honest with you. There are plenty of review bombing things that are happening. There are plenty of people that don't like it just because they're not going to like it. Plenty of people don't like it simply because it's not great. And because when you have enough reviewers saying negative things or like horrible, terrible internet things, people dismiss the regular criticism as just that. No, there's very good reasons to not enjoy this show thoroughly. The first four episodes were very clunky, retconning certain elements of the Force and the like. My biggest gripe, and we got back to that in episode 6, is the whole reason nerds like me are excited for a show to be set in this era. This is the height, people, of the Jedi. Not just a Luke Skywalker running around at the end, carrying on the name as the last of the Jedi. Not just one Yoda, one Obi-Wan, and a couple of people trying to rekindle the fire. This is the height of the Jedi Order, people. There are thousands of Jedi just around, man. Peacekeeping, shucking, jiving. One with the Force, meditation, everybody's there. There's no demystifying it for them. There's no, I got to figure out my own way and carve my own path. I got to deal with a Force ghost if I want to learn any kind of tips or tricks. No, dude. This is the height of the Jedi Order. And what they did was they made them neutered, obtuse, confused, oblivious, barely in touch with the Force, zilches. They did that, in my opinion, to make the big bad, who's pretty good, who's got some depth and who's got some arc and who's got a neat little story that I'm intrigued about, to try to make that guy that much more powerful. He can't do that, in my opinion. That's my biggest issue. Plus, you got the normal rate of sort of, you know, bad dialogue and cheesy things and lack of character development. It's a problem. It's a hard thing to do. You take on the High Republic era, you got to get a bunch, you got to introduce a bunch of people and make us care about them. They didn't do that. They kind of skipped over it. Episode 5 tried to pick business up. Some of the best lightsaber combat, non-prequel division ever, in my humble opinion. Really, 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 really well done stuff that kind of salvaged some of it. And we're back in episode 6 to kind of back some more dialogue heavy, try to make us care about some of these characters. There is an intriguing plot line, though, that it took a while to get there, 6 episodes, but you have something where you got a little bit of a switcheroo. Who was good might be turned. Who was bad might be turned. I'm intrigued by that. But I think this show has swung and missed an awful lot, and it's disappointing and frustrating that any, again, reasonable criticism of it gets lost among, you know, terrible internet people saying awful things and, you know, everybody sort of being defiant because of that. This was a golden opportunity to do something so special and so incredible. The Mandalorian knocked it out of the park. Andor knocked it out of the park. This does not. Episode 6 is probably a 5 out of 10 carbohydrate episode. I think episode 5 was a 7.5, maybe an 8 carb episode. The first 4 are all celery. Like vegetables without carbs in them, eaten raw without dip. Probably like a 1.5 to 2 for the first 4 episodes. But overall, I'm watching it. My kid is into it, so I'm going to continue. Obviously, they got me enough there that I care about some of these things. But they're really teasing out this one reveal of what happened in the past that was supposed to kind of kickstart our whole show. I'm just not really that interested in that plot line. I'm fascinated by the big bad. I think they've nailed that. Other than that, overall, if you're curious to watch The Acolyte on Disney Plus, it's probably a 4 out of 10 carbohydrate show with one really, really good episode so far out of 6. I think it's only 8 episodes, a couple more to go. But, you know, frustrating that that's where we are. That's what I got for you guys. Anybody have any questions about The Acolyte so far? Ryan, your thoughts on it have been?
Well, so this is Star Wars, correct?
That is right.
That is right.
That is right. That's a good question.
It is a good question.
That's a good question.
I was just making sure.
No, you nailed it.
I'm a Star Wars guy.
Clear Star Wars guy. Darrison, you don't care at all, right? Like, not even a little bit?
Yeah, I don't. I'm just so far behind on everything Star Wars.
But do you ever think you'll do anything related to Star Wars ever again? Or are you just out?
No, I wouldn't say I'm out. Because I've started trying to watch the old movies at one point. Mm-hmm. That was like a year ago. I've never got back around to it.
Yeah. Sounds like a real committed.
but to say I'm completely out on it, I wouldn't say that. No.
Well, there are good Star Wars Marvel comics. You ever do those?
No.
Okay. you ever do like some of the really good shows? You ever do like Mandalorian?
No. Because okay. I'm scared to dip into those shows because I feel like I need to know everything else that happened before it.
Oh, even watch any of them. I see.
Yeah.
So it's not as significant to you if you don't know the backdrop.
Right. I'm never going to watch something out of order. Like the crazy people who are watching House of the Dragon without ever seeing anything Game of Thrones.
I don't get
like,
them, by the way.
What are we doing?
I mean, I'm glad to have you. You're welcome. But how? Why does it matter to you?
Shouldn't be possible.
You know what I mean? So I know what you're saying. I actually do appreciate that. Shtick aside. It was like that old conversation around Top Gun. When Ryan was like, do I have to watch the original? And Grant and I answered at the exact same time. Grant said no, and I was like, yes. And then Ryan was like, well, what do I do? And I'm like, watch the original. Grant goes, you don't have to. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, you do. The whole point of the new one is the original. All of the significant weight, all of these moments are because of the original. Who this character is, what he does, what he doesn't do, the defiance, the do-it-your-own-way, the arrogance, the hubris. History's kind of repeating itself until it doesn't. Like, the whole point is that it's a love letter to the first one. Grant's like, you don't need to watch it. And like, I just won't get down with that. Just in sort of my general philosophy. But Darius, I smell what you're cooking there, wanting to watch the other ones. Like, one of the significant things in Ahsoka, which again, missed the mark in certain different ways, and I didn't like kind of the tone and some of the things that they said for the main character, who is actually fascinating, but just watching her, you wouldn't care at all because you don't know what she went through when we met her in the previous shows. That makes sense to me. I get that. So my advice would then be to watch all the stuff whenever you get a chance. Then we can actually have conversations instead of you giving me blank stares and entering the homie chat when I come into the room. Like, what you guys don't know is I'll come in looking for a little banter. Ryan doesn't watch, and I know he doesn't watch. But I'll be like, hey, Darius, what about the new nerdy thing? And Darius will kind of swivel his chair sort of slowly and just be like, what are they saying in the homie chat? What's up, guys? How are you? This is Darius. What else is going on? They're in the homie chat. I can't talk. Hey, what's new with you guys? LOL. I'm just waiting for a response in the chat. Danny can't talk. Nothing. Danny's here lurking over my shoulder, probably reading this. God, he's annoying. And that's kind of how the day goes. Oh, Beltway Blitz is next. Got a little Nats, little NFL, little Commandinis. We'll do that next. Plus, I got some other fun topics for you guys. We're going to have our food draft. That's right. Our food draft for July 4th barbecue edition coming up at 5 with the Beltway Blitz, 5 minutes away here on The Fan.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
The Double Play is driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. We do it every day at 3:45. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And we got a little sounder for the Double Play. Now, in the past, this sounder would give me like enough time to pick up tea and take a sip of tea. I'm going to see if I can do it. It's just over 2 seconds. So when I throw to it, let's see if I can get one in. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go. I did it. Full from table to mouth, back down. I was able to do it. It's so quick. It's so much quicker. We'll get used to it, though. We'll adjust on the fly. Acolyte time. Let's talk about it, you guys. Man, the first 4 episodes of the show, if you're not watching on Disney+, it is set in the High Republic era, not the Old Republic era, which was there was some confusion about with Ryan. He and I were talking earlier, and he's like, is this Old Republic? I'm like, no, it's not. It's High Republic. And Ryan asked me, he's like, well, how could there be Sith on this show when Kiaru Mundi, specifically at the council, says the Sith have been extinct for 1,000 years. Now we're just casually doing a Sith 100 years before the events of A Phantom Menace. And I was like, Ryan, I don't have a great answer for that. Because they even showed Kiaru Mundi in this show, and he's like experiencing Sith-like things, and he's like, I don't know, maybe he could have brought that up. So you're kind of screwing with continuity there. But you basically have a Sith-like figure that's being introduced, and I'm not going to spoil anything here for you guys if you haven't watched it. But I think the first four episodes were clunky, awkward, world-building attempts at exposition. I think they failed, to be honest with you. There are plenty of review bombing things that are happening. There are plenty of people that don't like it just because they're not going to like it. Plenty of people don't like it simply because it's not great. And because when you have enough reviewers saying negative things or like horrible, terrible internet things, people dismiss the regular criticism as just that. No, there's very good reasons to not enjoy this show thoroughly. The first four episodes were very clunky, retconning certain elements of the Force and the like. My biggest gripe, and we got back to that in episode six, is the whole reason nerds like me are excited for a show to be set in this era. This is the height, people, of the Jedi. Not just a Luke Skywalker running around at the end, carrying on the name as the last of the Jedi. Not just one Yoda, one Obi-Wan, and a couple of people trying to rekindle the fire. This is the height of the Jedi Order, people. There are thousands of Jedi just around, man. Peacekeeping, shucking, jiving. One with the Force, meditation. Everybody's there. There's no demystifying it for them. There's no, I got to figure out my own way and carve my own path. I got to deal with a Force ghost if I want to learn any kind of tips or tricks. No, dude. This is the height of the Jedi Order. And what they did was they made them neutered, obtuse, confused, oblivious, barely in touch with the Force, zilches. They did that, in my opinion, to make the big bad, who's pretty good, who's got some depth, and who's got some arc, and who's got a neat little story that I'm intrigued about, to try to make that guy that much more powerful. He can't do that, in my opinion. That's my biggest issue. Plus, you got the normal rate of sort of, you know, bad dialogue and cheesy things and lack of character development. It's a problem. It's a hard thing to do. You take on the High Republic era, you got to get a bunch, you got to introduce a bunch of people and make us care about them. They didn't do that. They kind of skipped over it. Episode 5 tried to pick business up. Some of the best lightsaber combat, non-prequel division ever, in my humble opinion. Really, 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 really well done stuff that kind of salvaged some of it. And we're back in episode 6 to kind of back some more dialogue heavy, try to make us care about some of these characters. There is an intriguing plot line, though, that it took a while to get there, 6 episodes, but you have something where you got a little bit of a switcheroo. Who was good might be turned. Who was bad might be turned. I'm intrigued by that. But I think this show has swung and missed an awful lot. And it's disappointing and frustrating that any, again, reasonable criticism of it gets lost among, you know, terrible internet people saying awful things and, you know, everybody sort of being defiant because of that. This was a golden opportunity to do something so special and so incredible. The Mandalorian knocked it out of the park. Andor knocked it out of the park. This does not. Episode 6 is probably a 5 out of 10 carbohydrate episode. I think episode 5 was a 7.5, maybe an 8 carb episode. The first 4 are all celery, like vegetables without carbs in them, eaten raw without dip, probably like a 1.5 to 2 for the first 4 episodes. But overall, I'm watching it. My kid is into it, so I'm going to continue. Obviously, they got me enough there that I care about some of these things, but they're really teasing out this one reveal of what happened in the past that was supposed to kind of kickstart our whole show. I'm just not really that interested in that plot line. I'm fascinated by the big bad. I think they've nailed that. Other than that, overall, if you're curious to watch The Acolyte on Disney Plus, it's probably a 4 out of 10 carbohydrate show with one really, really good episode so far out of 6. I think it's only 8 episodes, a couple more to go. But, you know, frustrating that that's where we are. That's what I got for you guys. Anybody have any questions about The Acolyte so far? Ryan, what have you been, what have your thoughts on it have been?
Well, so this is Star Wars, correct?
That is right.
That is right.
That is right. That's a good question.
It is a good
question. That's a good question.
I was just making sure.
No, you nailed it.
I'm a Star Wars guy.
Clear Star Wars guy. Darrison, you don't care at all, right? Like, not even a little bit?
Yeah, I don't. I'm just so far behind on everything Star Wars.
But do you ever think you'll do anything related to Star Wars ever again? Or are you just out?
No, I wouldn't say I'm out. Because I've started trying to watch the old movies at one point. Mm-hmm. That was like a year ago. I've never got back around to it.
Yeah. Sounds like a real committed.
but to say I'm completely out on it, I wouldn't say that. No.
Well, there are good Star Wars Marvel comics. You ever do those?
No.
Okay. you ever do like some of the really good shows? You ever do like Mandalorian?
No. Because okay. I'm scared to dip into those shows because I feel like I need to know everything else that happened before it.
Oh, to even watch any of them. I see.
Yeah.
So it's not as significant to you if you don't know the backdrop.
Right. I'm never going to watch something out of order. Like the crazy people who are watching House of the Dragon without ever seeing anything Game of Thrones.
I don't get like, them, by the way.
What are we doing?
I mean, I'm glad to have you. You're welcome. But how? Why does it matter to you?
Shouldn't be possible.
You know what I mean? So I know what you're saying. I actually do appreciate that. Shtick aside. It was like that whole conversation around Top Gun. When Ryan was like, do I have to watch the original? And Grant and I answered at the exact same time. Grant said no, and I was like, yes. And then Ryan was like, well, what do I do? And I'm like, watch the original. Grant goes, you don't have to. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, you do. The whole point of the new one is the original. All the significant weight, all of these moments are because of the original. Who this character is, what he does, what he doesn't do, the defiance, the do-it-your-own-way, the arrogance, the hubris. History's kind of repeating itself until it doesn't. Like, the whole point is that it's a love letter to the first one. Grant's like, you don't need to watch it. And like, I just won't get down with that. Just in sort of my general philosophy. But Darius, I smell what you're cooking there, wanting to watch the other ones. Like, one of the significant things in Ahsoka, which again, missed the mark in certain different ways, and I didn't like kind of the tone and some of the things that they set for the main character, who is actually fascinating, but just watching her, you wouldn't care at all because you don't know what she went through when we met her in the previous shows. That makes sense to me. I get that. So my advice would then be to watch all the stuff whenever you get a chance. Then we can actually have conversations instead of you giving me blank stares and entering the homie chat when I come into the room. Like, what you guys don't know is I'll come in looking for a little banter. Ryan doesn't watch, and I know he doesn't watch. But I'll be like, hey, Darius, what about the new nerdy thing? And Darius will kind of swivel his chair sort of slowly. And just be like, what are they saying in the homie chat? What's up, guys? How are you? This is Darius. What else is going on? They're in the homie chat. I can't talk. Hey, what's new with you guys? LOL. I'm just waiting for a response in the chat. Danny can't talk. Nothing. Danny's here lurking over my shoulder, probably reading this. God, he's annoying. And that's kind of how the day goes. Oh, Beltway Blitz is next. Got a little Nats, little NFL, little Commandinis. We'll do that next. Plus, I got some other fun topics for you guys. We're going to have our food draft. That's right. Our food draft for July 4th barbecue edition coming up at 5 with the Beltway Blitz, 5 minutes away here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.